So
I'm really mad that Ellen Page stole the likeness of the little girl in The Last of Us. That just really upsets me.
All right, welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. This is episode number 124, and the gang's back together, guys.
Hey! Yay. Is it really 124?
It is.
It is. It's oh my crazy. God.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't been here forever.
It's been a couple weeks.
You've been
we missed you, Scott.
I've gone to Hollywood, you guys. I hate to tell you this. But I'm only drinking soy lattes now. And everything has to be vegan and organically grown.
Right. And let me ask you this. If you had to get plastic surgery, what part of yourself would you fix?
I would.
Would you get butt implants? Because that's
Why
what I would
do. Are
you
implying that something's wrong with him,
Ash? Wow.
We all have something wrong with us. I would definitely get ass implants. But Scott, what would you get?
I would have, let's see. I would make sure that I'd never have hair around my nipples. I would just have it all surgically removed.
Nice. Laser surgery.
Yeah, laser right. surgery.
A wise choice. Wow. A wise choice.
I will pay for that if you do that this week.
Yeah.
Can we record it? Just the audio?
Our first YouTube video.
Let's do the rundown.
Apparently, Matt tells me that we have... a leader now in our NA Pick'em League, which is exciting.
Yes.
Let's see. Ash has been playing GTA 5. You guys have been watching TV like S.H.I.E.L.D. and Breaking Bad. Matt's been playing Beyond Two Souls. Hillary's getting ready for her convention panel domination tour, which is coming up soon. We'll talk about what's going on at New York Comic Con, some of the news. We haven't had a chance to talk about the news with the Steam box and controller, so we'll talk about that a little bit. And Hillary is watching a new series called The Originals. And I think that's it. And then in our Naquado, we sort of had like a forward-looking question, which is how will we be interacting with games in 20 years? Are standard controllers going to become a thing of the past? And I think that's sort of inspired by things like the Oculus Rift, which you've heard a lot about recently, as well as the new Steam controller that has no thumbsticks but touchpads, which is kind of interesting. And then, of course, we'll do our continuing Nerd Sports update later in the episode.
Yeah.
No, you cannot do that. So, Ash, why don't you start us off?
See, Ash, you're going first, not last.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. I watched episode 3 of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I guess we're going to talk a little bit more about S.H.I.E.L.D. in the news section, so I don't want to talk too much about it now, but it's good. My wife and I have been binge-watching Breaking Bad, which I was on the fence about the show because I knew it was really dark, and sometimes you want to watch shows that make you laugh and you know, feel good, and then sometimes you want to watch shows that just kind of torture you a little bit, and Breaking Bad is sort of that show, but it is... So well done, so well written. One of the best acted shows I think I've ever seen, ever. And we're just now on season 3. But we're in season 3 in like less than a week. So we've been really watching a lot of Breaking Bad. So we're hoping to finish that up by next week. But
they're not super long seasons though, right? Are they like 15 episodes?
Yeah, I think
that's
13.
A long season.
13. Well, I think the first season's only 7. And then the subsequent seasons are about, I think, 13 episodes.
I mean that they're like cable seasons. They're not like broadcast television goes for like 24 weeks. They're really long seasons.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Also, I didn't realize like that AMC can get away with like there's a lot of swearing and like really gratuitous. There's like nudity and you know, decapitations and all sorts of things.
Technically, it's still cable, so cable doesn't fall under.
I guess
control of the federal airwaves. So.
I guess
they can technically do whatever they want. I think there's just always been unstated rules of what they would and wouldn't do. And honestly, I think South Park was like the first one to really start breaking them, and then
just bend it like crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's nice. Like, it's a relief, though, you know.
Like The Walking Dead is on AMC, and that's mm-hmm. pretty violent.
Mm-hmm. For sure. But anyway, Breaking Bad is great, and I absolutely love it. And I think that everyone that acts on that show is just probably, you know, one of my favorites at this point. They're just incredible. And to also add more crime to my life, I've been playing a lot of GTA 5 online. And God, is it a lot of fun. They, for those that don't know exactly how they set up GTA 5 online, if you bought GTA 5, it's free. It came out a little bit later. We talked about the launch woes last week, but they're all fixed now and everything works. You create a character, and the character creation's weird. You actually don't build them yourself like BioWare style with sliders and things like that. You pick your lineage, so you pick your grandparents and what they look like, and then your parents spawn like a child, and that's kind of how you come out. So you actually just pick like who your grandparents are.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and that builds your character, so you don't really get to tweak your character out too much. Wow. But the online experience is pretty incredible. We started a crew, which is pretty small this time, but it's awesome. You run around with your crew, and you go on missions, and you can, like, you know, rob convenience stores together and go on races together and just do all sorts of crazy stuff. Like, I was running around with my buddy Derek, and we were trying to break into a military base. But it was all locked up, so we ended up stealing like a giant like hillbilly pickup truck and basically jumped the hillbilly pickup truck over the fences into the military base and got in this big high-speed chase with like Abrams tanks shooting at us. And it's just – it's complete idiocy. They actually implemented something that's amazingly fun. You can actually put you can put contracts out on other players. So if someone makes you mad, you can say, well, I want this player to have a contract out on their head. So that player will appear as red on the mini map, and it's the map of the whole city. So it's massive. So someone could be up in the middle of nowhere, see a little red blip appear, but the contracts are for like a lot of cash, and cash, you know, is paramount in the game. I mean, you use it for absolutely everything, and so some contracts will be so much, like $8,000-$9,000, that everyone in the map will suddenly go for this player. And once you get a contract out on you, it's the most exciting thing ever, because you're like, you'll see something pop up. It's like, you know, there's a contract out on you. Then you'll realize that every player in this massive world is coming after you. So it becomes this like total manhunt scenario where you're like driving through the desert in like a dune buggy, and you look at the map and there's like 20 white dots coming after you, and you end up like behind a sand dune, like sitting there like having a gunfight with like 10 people. I mean, it's just, it's a incredible online experience, and it's completely free. It's pretty much a free MMO that they put out with a lot of progression, and now that it works, it's an absolute blast. And you know, there's definitely a lot of bugs, but I think as it continues and develops, it's going to be better and better and better. So I'm definitely giving it two gigantic thumbs up.
I think you just reviewed it in our What Are You Up To.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
you
realized it.
You totally just did that.
Yeah, oops, my apologies. So let's go to Matt next.
Oh, we're like buddies now that we've both been last all the time.
Aww.
So this week, I guess, was a little bit of a shortened week for us as far as like recording schedules go, but I picked up Beyond Two Souls, and I'm going to talk about that in the review section where it's proper to talk about that kind of thing.
Hey.
And yeah, so we'll talk about that one a little bit. And then I've been watching, I love TV, as you guys know, every year we talk about it, but I've been scheduling, like, I have UVerse now for cable, and I actually really like it. Their stuff works really well, amazingly. It's like the only first cable company I've ever had where I'm like, oh, everything works and I don't have issues with it. But I've been watching like pretty much everything, I think, on Fall TV. I recorded everything that was new and gave every show a shot.
Wow.
There were some that were just totally awful.
Even like the We Are Men?
No, I mean, some of them I can kind of... I'm not going to watch We Are Men.
Oh, it's already canceled.
Yeah. And then
it's
Dad's...
It's already canceled?
Yeah, two episodes got canceled.
Oh, that sucks.
And they generally, like, a pilot will get picked up, they'll shoot three episodes, and those three episodes are the deciding if they're going to get kept around or not. That's why you'll see things get canceled at two and three episodes all the time. Mm. But there's been a lot of really great ones. Brooklyn Nine-Nine has become one of my favorite comedies very quickly. It's like slapsticky and really funny, and I enjoy it, and it makes me laugh every week. So all the characters are really awesome. If you haven't been watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, then highly recommended. And I'm trying to think of another. I started watching The Goldbergs. I think you and I talked about this a little, Ash, right?
Yeah.
I watched that show too.
Yeah, it's entertaining. It feels very Malcolm in the Middle-ish, but set in the 80s.
I think I saw two episodes of that. I liked it.
Yeah, it's not bad.
They yell at each other a lot.
There's a lot of loud.
Well, it's the dad is
loud noises.
The dad is what's his name from Curb. I don't remember, but he's a yeller. That's kind of what he's known for. Mm-hmm. Jeff Garland from Curb Your Enthusiasm. So a lot of TV. Beyond Two Souls. It's pretty much been it this week. It's been a pretty nice week for me, so I haven't had too much at work or anything. But Scott, how about you? You're back.
Yeah, I've been gone.
How did your world domination go with the robots?
I traveled to San Diego for a work thing, and San Diego is fun and it's nice. I stayed next to the convention center, but unfortunately, I worked the whole time. Like, when I wasn't doing things at the conference, I was working in the room, like, almost every night, which was tragic and very difficult. But I did discovered it. I found it. No. We found this cool sushi place, like, in the gas lamp called K7, which, I don't know, their logo suspiciously looks like the N7 logo a little bit. But it's kind
I
of like
a lawsuit.
No. It's actually really good. It's a really good sushi place. It's got like kind of like pop art like in the restaurant, and it's really good. So if you live in San Diego, go to K7 because it's delicious.
Cool.
What else did I do? So after San Diego, my wife and I drove up to LA to spend a couple of days there and visit friends and do some things like shopping and. We hiked up to the Hollywood sign one day.
Step on any needles on the way up there?
No, I did not. It's interesting how easily you could get into sort of a nature, quote unquote, nature environment by getting up into those trails that kind of take you a little closer to the Hollywood sign.
Did you find any Black Dahlia murder skulls while you were up there?
No, it was pretty tame. No rattlesnakes.
Ash has the darkest vision of every city. I don't know, other than Seattle, I don't know what cities Ash likes, because every time you bring up a city to him, he'll tell you the worst thing that you could possibly think of for that city. He's like, oh, Boston? Boston's got a bunch of, you know, cemeteries in it, and it's terrible. I hate it. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, that's all I ever saw when I was there. And I'm like, God, man.
That is lies.
It's not a lie.
I like most cities.
Aww.
I'm just laughing quickly, that's the funniest thing you've said.
Okay. The exception of Texas and maybe.
Texas is not a city.
Yeah. Sorry, Scott.
You know, all of Texas. All cities within Texas.
That's okay. So, yeah, in L.A. we stayed. At this hotel, this cool little boutique-y kind of hotel near the CBS Television City in the Farmers Market. And that area was kind of cool to hang out in. A lot of stuff was within walking distance, which was nice. And then I saw Nate and Denise. Nate just happened to be in L.A. at the same time. He went to the LOL World Championships, I guess. And we met up for dinner one night, and that was fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
What did you guys eat?
What did we eat or where?
Yeah, what did you eat?
We ate, okay, so we stayed at a hotel called The Farmer's Daughter, and it had a restaurant inside of it called Tart, and it's like, it was almost like family-style dining, but not intentionally. You basically order, you get a protein, and then you get three sides with it.
Whoa.
Like, as part of the meal. So, like, literally, we had five people at dinner. Our entire table was covered with food, and nobody could finish like the three sides that they got. It was incredible. Everything was great.
That's nice.
It's kind of like kind of comfort style food, like Brussels sprouts and grits, and like kind of like a Southern infused style. Like,
did you just say grits?
Grits.
That's how you say grits in the
cheese
South.
Grits.
Grits.
We had some cheese grits and Brussels sprouts. I had some French fries. Nate got some macaroni and cheese. I had a pork chop. So that was fun.
Is pork chop your favorite? I was going to say meat. That sounds wrong. Is pork chop your favorite cut of meat?
I like protein? To. I think it's. I find it difficult to cook pork chops at home because they usually turn out pretty dry. So when I go out help. To. When I go out, huh?
You got to brine it, man.
Brine it? What is that?
Oh, I'm gonna open your pork world.
It's like what you do to your turkey.
I don't cook turkeys or pork.
I'll help you out, buddy.
Okay. Anyways, how do we get off on this tangent?
You tend to order when we go if we go out to eat at like a if it was a steak, chicken, and pork place.
Uh-huh.
And they had a good looking pork chop. I feel like you tend to get pork chops instead of like Ash would get steak.
Yes.
You get
I literally have chicken at home maybe 6 out of 7 days that we cook at home. So
yeah.
Steak is a little more, it's a little less frequent, and then we rarely cook pork chops at all unless it's like pulled pork in the slow cooker, which is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Food.
So now I'm getting hungry. Thanks,
so
guys.
That was our new food segment, everybody.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have not had a lot of time to do anything else, and that problem will resolve itself in about a week. And I'm very
Yay.
Excited for that. Yeah, right. And but I did watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I caught up on that, and I'm liking that.
It's funny, right?
Yeah, I hope I see the humor in it. I can see that it's still a little raw, but I mm-hmm. feel like that show, if given an opportunity to grow into its own, is going to be really funny. Like it's funny now,
yeah.
But like when the characters are established, like the plot lines and the humor will be even better.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. Because it's those characters all like they've definitely built the quirk. Base for all the characters, you know, mm-hmm. like they're all quirky in a different way. And then I feel like in the end of this season, or if they, you know, season two, hopefully they get, would be very like it'll be Parks and Rec-ish where they start
yes.
actually building storylines around these characters that make sense and are more fun to watch.
Yeah, so. It's going to be great. And I really like the one character that is surprising me that I really like is the woman that is the receptionist. Who is
oh,
like,
Chelsea Peretti?
Oh, you like her?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I like she's her funny. Character on the show. I think she's
so
funny.
If you just saw the one where she recruits the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really
and
good
she
one.
Did like the interpretive dance.
Yeah.
Like in front of them. I thought that was great. Yeah. So hopefully by next week I will have more to talk about other than food and travel. But yeah, I also picked fun. Up Beyond Two Souls, and hopefully I will have some insights about that next week. So I think that leaves Hillary. We'll save the best for last.
Aw, well, speaking of next week, I'm going to be at Geek Girl Con.
Hey,
you are.
Yes. So that's my, like as Scott said, my panel world domination tour. Yes. Is that
yes,
it?
Yes, that's mm-hmm. it. That's the one.
That's the one. So I have three panels at Geek Girl Con with a bunch of really talented, awesome people that I'm really surprised that anyone wants to sit on stage with me. But that's
Come
awesome.
On.
All right. And then I, in a crazy, like, alternate universe, somehow the stars aligned and I have a book signing.
What?
At Geek Girl Con.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys know this, but I've written a bunch of stuff for Chicken Soup for the Soul mm-hmm. and the editions that I was in. See, I'm a good writer. the editions in which my work was presented were
nice.
Thank you. We're on the bestsellers list, so that's pretty cool.
Hey.
So, so Geek Girl Con is buying a bunch of books that I'm in, and I'm doing a book signing along with Patrick Weeks, who is legitimately an awesome author.
Oh, come
may
on.
Not be so much. But yeah, so we're doing a book signing at the same time, which is like, oh, wow.
Is he going to sign the that box of books from a different author that he got in the mail? Maybe I'll
Did
see
you
that.
See that? That was hilarious.
No.
I saw that.
Yeah. He posted a picture on Twitter. He's like, I think they sent me the wrong box, and it's like another author's books. It's like a box.
Oh,
part.
No.
Best part was he was super excited, and he's like, I'm going to do an unboxing. And he was going to do like an unboxing video, and he started to open it. It was all the wrong books.
That's terrible. Poor
it
Patrick.
Is pretty terrible.
I have to ask you, Hillary, which, because I know that there's like Chicken Soup for like the teenage Nymphomaniac Soul. Like, what? Which one did you do?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And Chicken Soup and Soul for the crackhead. And
yeah, how, there are. Yeah. There are a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm learning so much about Hillary right now.
Yeah.
I'm in one about dysfunctional families. I'm in one about grandmothers. And I'm in one about preteens. So yeah.
You would be in one about preteens.
Yes. And and they're all heartwarmingly awesome stories.
Now, remind me again, a grandmother is...
mom. It's either your father's mother or your mother's mother.
Oh, okay, right. I'm with you now.
You lost me.
And then, so that's pretty exciting. I'm doing that. And then, I bought GTA 5 because everybody keeps talking about it, and Ash is like so all about it. So it's like, I should probably pick that up.
Gotta join my crew.
I know. The only problem is Dave stole it.
Dave,
he won't be
my friend. I asked to be Dave's friend a year ago, and he says no.
I think what it is that he's really cheap, so he doesn't want to buy the live membership. And I've told him he could use mine, like whatever, just use my
once the one comes out, you can share it, right?
Yeah.
I know. So I think we only have like a month. We're both really excited about that. So we even have a place carved out in the entertainment center. Like, this is where the one will go.
Oh, me too. I have a place set up. I'm excited.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would love to talk about GTA 5 in more depth, but Dave keeps taking it from me. So
We'll talk.
Yeah. So something else that's not going to get stolen from you.
Yeah.
News.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. gets a full season pickup.
Hey.
That won't be stolen from you.
Won't get stolen from you, because that makes sense.
It doesn't.
Hang on. I quickly wanted to say something, but I didn't want to steal Hillary's transition thunder. I wanted to give a shout out to you guys, and specifically Matt, for an awesome Kelly Wallach episode. I had a really good time listening to that, and I was really sad I couldn't be a part of it.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So I just wanted to say that it was really funny. Like, I listened to it on the plane, and I was like literally laughing out loud. I thought it was really good. So
it's fun to listen to episodes you have no part of, right?
Yeah, because it's
like we know what we're doing.
I got to enjoy the podcast as a listener and not as a person on it.
Well, I was thinking I was right? You haven't missed. Have you missed any podcasts?
I have. I did. I missed some, like when I went on honeymoon and
a long while ago.
Yeah, but I mean, like, not in recent memory. I don't think I've missed any. So it was really fun to like go listen to one.
Because I know I've missed a bunch from traveling and work and other things, but
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I had fun. It was fun. She's pretty awesome. So it was cool to hear her story.
Yeah, and if anyone has not had an opportunity to go back and listen to, what is that, 122?
Yep.
Yeah, go listen to it. If for anything, then just the drops that Matt made for that episode, because they're incredible.
I try my best.
Parts.
Yeah. All right,
and Kelly's full of really good information. Like, I feel like in that short period of time where we got to talk to her, I learned so much.
Well, I mean, Ash and I got to talk to her for a while, but some of us showed up.
Whatever. I was fashionably late.
I loved the Wild Hillary approaches sound effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're great.
I pictured like a puff of smoke and you kind of like bursting out of the computer.
I did my best.
Yeah,
but it was weird because we kind of like. You know, this is all weird editing stuff that Scott always deals with, but we took a break sort of to intro Hillary, but there was actually a bunch of talking we cut out, you know, like when she came in and we kind of introduced her to Kelly and everything. And then, but like where you picked up, I like, it sounded weird just having Hillary just like just being like, and now Hillary's here. Yeah. It was like the weirdest thing. So I put a sound in. Sounds make things better.
Yeah, it always does.
Sounds are cool.
So how many of you guys have seen Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. so far?
I
haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
No, I haven't.
No, you guys haven't? Well, Matt and I have seen it. Yes. And the good news for Joss Whedon and Marvel fans is that it just got a full season pickup, which should not be a big surprise.
Did it get the number one ratings the first week of all TV first week episodes ever or something like that?
It did. It broke all sorts of records for the pilot episode, which was actually a really great pilot.
It was a fantastic pilot. Yeah.
They did a really solid job with that. The next episode I liked, but I didn't love.
The second one?
Yeah, it felt a little weird. And I mean, I figured out what my problem was.
You started to figure out the Calvary.
Yeah, I love. Okay, so it's so well written.
Yeah,
I love the characters. I love what they're doing. It's very, you know, very Joss Whedon. They're gonna, you know, drop all these little hints and then build it as the season progresses. I think my problem is honestly, it's so minor, but I hate the set for the plane.
Yeah, the plane set is a little weird.
It's really claustrophobic. Like, yeah. It doesn't.
Planes are small.
It is. Well, it's a gigantic fucking plane. Yeah, I mean, it's huge. It's like, you know, bigger than Air Force One. It's just this massive plane. But that's where the bulk of the series is taking place, is on this plane, because that's their base. They have a mobile base that's a plane. But I really feel like the plane, it's so claustrophobic that it doesn't really allow the camera to move around.
Right.
And it creates like scenes that could be like kind of dynamic walking and talking scenes, you know, like from most dramas these days.
Mm-hmm.
The characters are having to stay stationary. They're sitting on a couch, they're sitting at a table, and they're just doing, you know, these kind of static, boring shots of characters talking. And I know that seems like really silly to complain about, but I don't think that that should be their headquarters. I see what they're trying to do with it. Giving them this big mobile headquarters is kind of different, but...
Well, I think the idea is that they can be anywhere at any time. So they're constantly, like, the plane's never stationary, right? So they're always just flying around the country, feasibly. And then it's like, oh, we have to be in Mexico. And then they're, like, in Mexico in the next scene.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that the plane is... But they don't spend too much time on the plane. Like, most of the shots are big action piece shots, like, set somewhere, right? I mean, that episode that you're speaking of specifically, they did spend a lot of time on the plane, but it's because...
The plot was on the plane.
Yeah, that was like the major plot line was on the plane.
I don't know if it's maybe because it's how it's lit, but it doesn't look... It looks like a set. You know what I mean? That's kind of like the plane.
I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. I mean, because no matter what, they're still flying at like 500 miles an hour. Like, that's kind of neat.
No, I mean, the idea... I understand. So I think the complaint more so is that it kind of... So the quality of this show is super high. Like,
yeah,
it's ridiculously well made. I mean, most... I was ready for, you know, what most sci-fi show budgets end up looking like, which is like not
Power
very
Rangers.
Large. Yeah, I mean, everything always seems a little off. You have to kind of like forgive it because it's for TV and you're like, okay, well, I understand that I'm watching a sci-fi show on TV and it's not going to have the best effects, so that's okay. And then we watched, especially the first episode, the pilot, everybody like... Melissa and myself and Ash and your wife were all like, oh my God, it looks like a movie. Like, I felt like I was watching a movie the entire time.
Spending those Disney dollars.
They are dropping money in this show, but at the same time, they're also like constantly advertising Thor throughout every episode. There's a commercial for Thor.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's basically one big walking advertisement for all the movies that make them millions upon millions of dollars.
Sure, why not?
But it's done so well. I think that the plane is a little off-putting because it does look a little like sound stagey compared to everything else that happens in the show. So it's a little weird. Like, it's like, and they're always little set pieces. But the second one, I think that second episode was supposed to feel claustrophobic. It was supposed to feel like you were stuck on this little plane with the device that they found.
You know, and it could be something as minor as giving the camera like a slight vibration and maybe having the audio guys drop in like some plane engine droning noises in the background that just make me feel like I'm on a plane.
Yeah,
honestly. Because I'm just like, you know, your brain gets really accustomed to things like that. And like when I'm watching this, I'm like, they're supposed to be on a plane and it just looks like they're in a fucking apartment building.
It does. It looks like a living room. Like,
because
the main room of the thing looks like a living room. It's like a leather couch and a spiral staircase behind them.
Yeah.
Like, this is weird.
This is weird. So that's the only kind of thing that took me out of it. They kind of... last episode, not to spoil anything, but they kind of introed a supervillain, someone with powers, or the
sword
with powers eventually. So,
yeah,
Well, the thing that's cool is they're starting to kind of actually tie things into, you know, the actual Marvel universe, and characters are popping up that exist in the Marvel universe. So that's neat, and I like it. So. Anyway,
but what's also funny is that they've completely kept it separate in a lot of ways. So like Melissa will a lot of times be going, "Oh, who's that? Is that from something?" And I'm like, I don't think so. And I'd look it up, and it's like 90% of the characters they just made up for the show, which is cool because what it's allowing them to do, especially like in the pilot, like you were saying, they intro these things from the Marvel universe, but then they don't tie them to any characters that you, you know, already have expectations for. So you can kind of watch this show as its own standalone piece. But if you're into the comics, then you'll be like, oh, that's from, you know, the Extremis line in Iron Man, or this is the, you know, blah, 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 whatever it might be. And it's cool. It's like a lot of nice nudge, nudge, wink, wink kind of stuff set inside of just a well-written story. They're not letting it just ride completely off the comic books like coattails, you know?
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But it's good. So we'll see, you know, what happens, and hopefully they kind of build their own mythology and create a nice series out of this.
Any Whedon show that gets picked up for a full season within the first, you know, couple of episodes is a good thing. So
yes. Yeah. Yeah.
They're awesome. Not stealing it from you.
Yeah.
It wasn't my idea. Matt, let's jump to you and talk about Steam so I don't have to keep talking.
Sure. So I mean, this is kind of a little bit of old news, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it because it happened kind of during the Kelly Wallach episode. But so a couple weeks ago, Steam did this trio of quote unquote announcements about what everybody was assuming would be the Steam Box, which ended up becoming the Steam, has another name, doesn't it? Steam
Machine? Is it Steam Machine?
Steam Machine or something? I don't remember.
Well, they announced the Steam OS.
So, yeah. So what came out was three announcements. One is Steam OS, which will run either on your own box. If you want to build your own, it'll be a downloadable you can run on the box. Or they're giving out 300 beta testing Steam machines or Steam boxes, whatever they called them, to 300 people who signed up on the beta site. On steampowered.com or whatever. And it is a Linux OS that, from what we can tell, basically runs to your TV whatever you're playing on your main game box, right?
Well, I think the Steam machines can, like the powerful ones, will be able to run the games directly off the machine, but...
Because there's going to be two tiers?
I think they put specs out for, like, you know, here are like specs for three tiers if you wanted to build your own.
Right. So,
and then like you said, the lower tier is, I guess, intended to be more of like a streaming device from your like main PC.
Yeah. Which is... So if you've got a power gaming PC, you can basically stream from that PC to the Steam Box, which would be connected to your TV, and you'd be able to play with their own. They have the new controllers, which is the third announcement, which is they released their own controllers for, this machine, which is kind of different and kind of where our question of the week came from.
So what do you guys think about this? I wanted to ask you guys about this. That's why I want to talk about it.
Yeah. So there's no analog sticks, right?
Yeah.
It's got two, what they're calling click pads, I believe, which are like
dual track pads.
They're round little track pads that kind of remind you of like a up, down, left, right stick. But apparently they're click based and they're considered more sensitive than an analog stick could ever be. So you're supposed to get the mouse fidelity off of these track pads.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the center, it has a screen which is touch enabled and divided into four quadrants, which supposedly, I guess, games will be able to put their own kind of control system inside of these four buttons. And then there's regular buttons below the right side click pad too, right?
Yeah, there's
and then there's triggers on the top.
There's like triggers on top, there's buttons like underneath the controller, like your secondary triggers, buttons on the face as well.
I'm assuming you're wondering what we think of these click track pads.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm kind of buying it, so I want to know if you guys are buying it too.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm kind of buying into this a little bit.
Because I think 2 weeks ago you were kind of not buying into it, right?
No, I mean, you know, like I haven't been on the show since the announcement of the controller was made.
Right.
But now that I've seen this controller, like I kind of dig it. I kind of get it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, like I am, this isn't the kind of a stupid tangent, but I'm left-handed. So I often have the mouse on my computer on the left-hand side. And occasionally I will move it over to the right. And I've sat there before with like a wired and a wireless mouse like in either hand. And I'm like, why can't this be a thing? Like, I feel like there is a gameplay opportunity that uses like two mice. And I feel like in a way this offers something like that. And they recently posted a tech demo of somebody playing through some games like that were configured in different ways for this controller. And one of the things that they used it for was they showed a game I think was called like Papers, Please, which is a completely mouse-driven interface. And they basically mapped both of the touchpads to the same mouse pointer, which creates like an interesting way for you to like kind of make it doubly fast to control the mouse cursor with the same, like with two inputs. You know what I mean?
Interesting. Yeah.
And then they showed like stuff like Portal, like your traditional FPS games will work similarly to the way they do on traditional controllers now, where like one touchpad is for movement and one is for looking around. But I think that this is not so different from a traditional controller that it would turn controller gamers off.
Right.
But it might like present a new way to port like traditional mouse and keyboard games to a controller, like in a more efficient way.
Sure. Yeah.
Because I don't know if you guys have ever like tried to use an Xbox 360 controller with a game that doesn't support it using like one of those like button mapping software mm-hmm. programs. And pretty much what you do end up doing is you end up mapping one of the sticks to the mouse pointer and trying to like fine tune it in such a way that you have like a similar level of control fidelity as you would with the mouse. And I feel like this maybe bridges the gap between them. So that's, I mean, in a way that's kind of why I'm buying into it. I don't really like, you know, the where the buttons are positioned and things like that, but I think that they want designers to develop games for this controller. And I think that's kind of the leap of faith.
Yeah, I think they're pushing, I think they're making a suitable controller for traditional games, but they're pushing this new idea. You can, like you said, the placement of those two trackpads, I think, makes me feel like, oh, they want you to use these things. Like they're clearly going like, yeah, those buttons are great and everything. Get your thumbs up to the trackpads. See what you can do with that. What do you think about the touchscreen in the middle? That kind of like multi, could be whatever, four buttons.
Yeah,
you know, that's useful,
I don't know,
or not useful.
It depends on where it is. If it's like, if it ends up being something where you could do macros or something, which is, you know, clearly something that PC gamers already do, setting up macros for things in RTS games and, mm-hmm. and whatnot. I think that would make sense. And I also kind of think about how a lot of games now, while there are games that do have like a million functions, you know, a lot of these more popular and like indie style games really don't use all of the buttons on a controller anymore.
Yeah, it's about simplifying. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're like, we're kind of in this era where like reducing games down to like very simple functionality is sort of in style right now. So a controller like this where, you know, for the most part, maybe like 75% of the games can be controlled just by using the pads and the click functionality underneath the pads. It kind of makes sense to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I can see like a game like The Swapper, for example, which, you know, I talk about a lot and I will keep talking about, is not because of the way that you need to use the weapon, not a weapon, but like the device you have in the game. It's not something that is conducive to a thumbstick, but it is something that would definitely work on this trackpad because you need like spacing. You don't just shoot sort of like off in a vector. You need to like have a vector and a distance from your character. So the trackpad is better than, let's say, like what a thumbstick would provide for that.
Well, I mean, I guess the question is it going to work? And if it works and it's intuitive and it makes sense, I mean, I guess my problem is going to be when I pick it up, will I be able to actually use it and feel like I'm getting the same level of precision as a controller or even mouse and keyboard? If it feels weird, then it's just going to be another gimmicky controller that you throw away and you don't use, you know? That, I mean, that's sometimes our brains just don't click with some devices. I mean, I can't tell you how many weird ass Nintendo controllers I had as a kid.
Yeah.
That just, most of them didn't work. I remember one that looked like a beach ball, like that was in this giant plastic box. And it was like you control. Do you remember that thing? You would like click it. Yeah. It was like the control portion of it was like maybe not a beach ball, but maybe twice the size of a softball. It was like this massive orb and you'd like click the orb and move the character using this orb. It was the weirdest thing. And that was like 8-bit Nintendo era, but
I remember during that same era, somebody tried to make a one-handed controller where like the four buttons were on the bottom and the D-pad was on the top. And the idea for that era was that you could play an RPG one-handed and then have your other hand free to like draw the maps and make notes about all the things you need to do in RPG, right? Because back then that's you had awesome. To draw the maps of all the dungeons. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think something to prove the point, though, is the similarity between Xbox and PlayStation. I mean, their controllers are different, but they're similar enough. So I think that they've realized that there's like a normal, you know, a normal like baseline.
I think this controller pushes the innovation line about as far as you can to not make people who are completely change-averse like write it off instantly.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's worth a try, and I think that maybe after a couple of days of use, I would guess that most traditional gamers will grasp the concept, especially if you are a PC gamer and you are looking for that solution to move out to the couch, you know,
yeah,
do the streaming and whatnot.
I think that's my feeling on it, is that as much as I at times get tired of the kind of like idolization of Valve, or of some of the like rhetoric they'll put out. Like, remember when Windows 8 came out and he was like, Windows 8 will be the end of gaming. And I'm like,
yeah,
I'm sure this has nothing to do with a competing system to Steam. And it's just because your opinions on it are that it's terrible for gaming, and it's fine for gaming. It's not, you know, whatever. But
yeah,
I like Valve at the same time because they feel like that crazy uncle that's just like coming up with whatever, you know, I mean, Xbox and PlayStation and Nintendo to a degree have, I feel like, a line in the sand that they need to reach every time they put something out. You know, like the Xbox One will be considered a failure if it doesn't end up in every living room in the country. So it needs to be this kind of like generalized machine that anyone can play.
Yeah.
You know, that has some media stuff in it. And PlayStation's trying to lean towards the gamer thing, but the more we're getting closer to release, both systems are kind of converging on a point, you know, of how do we get in as many living rooms as possible. And I feel like Steam is just kind of like, it's like early Google almost, you know, where they're just like, yeah, we don't give a shit. We're just going to put out, like, we made 17 of these things. We're going to release them and see what happens. And if that's cool, then awesome. We'll make more of them. And if you don't like them, then we'll stop.
I appreciate them willing to take the chance on doing something slightly different than the traditional, like, two thumbstick design.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting. I definitely want to get Steam on my TV in an easier way.
Mm-hmm.
So if this does that, then awesome. You know
I would totally like just the cheapo streaming box with the controller and just give it a shot.
I'm down. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally fine for me. So
cool.
So we'll see. We kind of wanted to do a quick catch up on the Steam news just because we didn't get to talk about it when it came out. So you know, hopefully you guys are excited too. I think it's more gaming the better.
Cool. So Ash, what's going on at New York Comic Con?
Jeez.
So New York Comic Con made a bit of an oopsie, as I like to call it. I guess what they let attendees do is when they picked up their tickets, they let them log in through their system using their personal Twitter accounts. But I guess somewhere in the small print, there was a thing that essentially allowed the people that picking up their ticket, well, allowed New York Comic Con to tweet through the accounts of people that were picking up the tickets.
Yep.
So say I bought a ticket, I use my Twitter to pick up my ticket. New York Comic Con would then be allowed to post as me saying, hey, I just picked up my ticket for New York Comic Con and boy, am I excited. Except for what they did is the people were actually, it wasn't just a general generic message. They were actually typing like kind of specific messages through people's Twitter accounts,
more or less using their software. The badges were RFID coded, like they had tags inside of the badges, right?
Yeah. So essentially thousands of people were tweeting about New York Comic Con that didn't actually tweet about New York Comic Con, and a lot of them were like famous guests.
They were press.
And
they had press people that they were tweeting through the press's accounts about how much they were enjoying New York Comic Con.
Oopsie.
I mean, the thing is, like, so this is not abnormal what they did. It's abnormal what they did with it. So, like, basically the back of the badge said, you know, register your account with Twitter and you could, you know, like a lot of cons will do stuff like this. You could win something. There'll be like contests or whatever it might be.
Get it? Contests.
And when you do that with Twitter will, when you log in through something with another account like Twitter or Facebook or something, it'll tell you what permissions you're giving that person. Mm-hmm. And Twitter's default permissions are usually this person can tweet from your account and they can read like your contact list, right?
Mm-hmm.
99.99% of the time, nothing usually gets tweeted out from your name unless you get prompted. Like you'll do something and then it'll be like, do you want to tweet this? And then you say, sure. And then it'll tweet out like, oh, I just, you know, one
like Sword and Sorcery did.
Whatever. Yeah.
What they the best did example of that is Eat24. They have the best.
I don't know what that
follow
is.
Follow them. Yeah. They're amazing. It's like a food delivery service, but they have like the best social media in the world. So they give you like 100 different prompts that you can pick. Like, I deserve Eat24 because I'm beautiful, or I ordered Eat24 because I couldn't bother to put pants on.
There you go.
Like, really funny, like, got awesome it. Ones. Yeah.
So what New York Comic Con did, though, was just all of a sudden would just tweet out of people's accounts, like, I'm at New York Comic Con having the time of my life, with a bit.ly link back to New York Comic Con.
Uh-huh.
And then people were, like, tweeting back at, like, I think one press guy saw his own account get retweeted on it or something, and he was like, what the fuck? Wow. I didn't tweet that. So he went and looked and then saw his friends that were also press at the con had tweeted the same message. Mm-hmm. And then there was like 2 and 3 and 4 other messages that would start coming out from other, like, people were tweeting like once or twice or three times as New York Comic Con was tweeting through them, and it blew up. And then of course they on Saturday morning they turned it or not Friday morning they turned it off. They never apologized, by the way. They just said, oh, yeah, we turned that feature off.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oops.
That's great. We're not sorry, hey, yeah. We told you we could tweet from your account. And it's like, nobody ever does that generally. So.
Yeah, and no one ever reads the fine print. I mean, you know, whenever we sign up for something or you know, attach our Twitter accounts to something, rarely do I sit there and read the 5 pages of bullshit they send me, because there's no way I'll remember it all anyway. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It was just kind of in poor taste, and hopefully something like that never, you know, hopefully it does not happen again with New York Comic Con or any other con, because people don't like to have their Twitters stolen.
Yeah.
Hillary.
Speaking of stolen, let's talk about Russia.
Yeah. What? So I don't know if you guys saw this, but the Russian government is going to sponsor their own Heroes type game that they want to make. So to try to maybe improve the visage of how Russia is looked at, maybe inside of Russia. So instead of like Russian characters being the bad guy, they'd be the heroes. And it's interesting that one of the games that's going to be sponsored by the Russian government is about World War One. So, I mean, in looking back at history, I don't know if they did a great thing. I can't remember, honestly. So, I mean, Ash, I'm going to throw that to you. But
yeah. No, they lost terribly.
Yeah.
And it ended up leading to the Russian Revolution. lost really badly.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So it's a little bizarre that that's the game that they're choosing. But it's going to be a government-sponsored game, which is, to me, a little bit strange. I understand why they want to do that, because, I mean, come on. Every video game that has like a Russian character, chances are that Russian character is like the bad guy.
Sure.
It's kind of how we always make the Brits like evil, like clever villains. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So it's not going to be an army of Vladimir Putin's on horseback with a sword.
fighting shirtless. Yeah, exactly. No, that's what they're doing. Well, I just think I'm just reminded of like 38 Studios and how the state of Massachusetts, or was it Massachusetts? Rhode Island. The state of Rhode Island, like, you know, wanted to have an ownership stake in that, and that didn't really work out.
America's done this. So we had America's Army that came out in 2004.
That was like a recruiting tool, though, wasn't it? They still make that.
It was a full-on game. Yeah, they still make it. I mean, it was like a real deal game for a long time. It was basically Battlefield.
But I mean, the side idea was to promote like enrollment.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. You had to watch like full ads while you were playing, and I was like, I'm not going to join the army for this. But and then I got paranoid that they were like tracking, because you sign up with information. I was like, oh god, they're gonna know who I am and stuff. Yep. This is weird. But yeah, so I think that kind of stuff has happened before. I don't know how. I think America's Army was relatively successful, though.
Yeah.
But we also didn't base it on Vietnam. You know, like,
I mean, do you think these games will even make it over here if these games are actually?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. I mean, honestly, it's just not to get all into politics, especially Russian politics, but it's a form of propaganda. Obviously, everyone knows that. But the reason why is, you know, morale in Russia is very low at this point. They have some of the worst medical conditions, really, you know, in the first world at this point. I mean, their medicine's terrible. They're actually, if I remember correctly, their birth rate's actually lower than their death rate. So they're suffering from what they're calling the Russian cross, Or if you look at the population charts, more people are, you know, people are dying faster than they're being born in Russia, and people are leaving Russia to go to other regions of the world.
Oh.
And so they're probably trying to really, you know, boost desire to stay in Russia and kind of glorify some of the accomplishments of their country and their military, you know.
Fascinating.
So,
yeah,
it is cool. I mean, it's neat when the government tries to use like pop culture, video games, and things of that nature to actually influence the population to act a certain way. It is super fascinating.
So let's come back with some reviews.
Okay. Somebody already did their review earlier in the show.
Just cut it in.
So what else do you want to say about GTA 5 Online?
Well, other than that everyone should play it with me and join the crew so we can cause chaos. They are planning on implementing heists, which are pretty fucking amazing in the main game. You actually pick a crew and you develop a method of taking down like large institutions like banks and jewelry stores. And you actually come up with like, do you want to drill through the wall? Do you want to rappel in? And you actually have to come up with a battle plan that you plan out on a cork board, like you see in the movies. And
yeah.
You pick your crew and, you know, find getaway vehicles. It's basically like a multi-stage a heist that you actually have to plan out for quite a long time before you pull off. But then they pay you a whole bunch of money. So they're adding heists to the game, which is pretty cool. It's kind of turning me into like I'm a bit of a savage when I play this online because I'll like sneak through the darkness. There's like a stealth kind of mode and you can like run around and you know, just assassinate people like a... You know, I can't even really explain it. I'm becoming a very bad person, guys. When I play this, I'm not very nice.
Really? Because totally... I remember someone who gave me a really hard time for being kind of a survivalist in The Walking Dead. Yeah. That's
no,
interesting, Ash.
I did. Well, I'll run the same person over probably like 50 times.
And yet I stole to be able to feed that child.
Yeah, it's true. You know, you're in retrospect,
never gonna let it go.
Right. I'm gonna let her have it. She was right.
Okay.
Yep.
Fuck those people. Anyway, other than that, GTA 5 Online is great and it actually works, so pick it up. It's awesome. And Hillary, speaking of
sexy vampires.
Yeah. How's the originals going?
Originals is awesome. So I don't know how many of you out there are fans of The Vampire Diaries. Wow. You know, zombies, vampires, you know, it's all the same thing. So the originals is set in New Orleans, and it's about the original family of vampires that basically spread vampirism to the rest of the vampire world. But it's about them reclaiming their lost kingdom, I guess, there's probably a better word, but reclaiming New Orleans as their own. So it's a really interesting story about like vampires and werewolves and all of
witches
that good
too,
paranormal.
Right? Isn't there a whole sect of witches?
Oh yeah, there's witches too.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah. So it's like, you know, your typical story of paranormal romance, except even better, because there's like fight scenes and intrigue and mystery. And it's just really cool. So it's a really nice add-on to the Vampire Diaries. And usually a spin-off like this, you kind of have low expectations. But they're doing a really good job so far. So if you're a fan, check it out.
And they actually took a couple of the major... So this was the panel I sat in on at Comic-Con, where it was just like women yelling, screaming like from behind me because I was up in the front because I had to be in the front for it. No, I was up in the
front. Yeah, the guy who plays Klaus is pretty hot.
Yeah, yeah. He was there. But there's a couple of main... Isn't there a couple of the main characters from Vampire Diaries that moved to the originals? Like, it's not just a spinoff of, like, no one, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, in the Vampire Diaries, we were introduced to the original family. So there's Klaus and Elijah. Elijah's also very good-looking. And they're all good-looking, whatever.
This is important.
I'm telling you, I mean, I know we've talked about this before, but I'm telling you, even Melissa and I were both like, the two women that were sitting on that panel are two of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life. And they might as well have been like pools of mud in their chair that no one cared about whatsoever. It was like all dudes, just like hot dudes and ladies screaming at hot dudes for like an hour. It was ridiculous. And then these two girls are just like, hi. In any other show, I'd be the super pretty girl that everybody cares about, but no one cares about me right now because there's four hot dudes sitting around me.
Like, yeah, Klaus. I mean, it's kind of amazing.
It is.
Yeah, the two women on the show are exceptionally beautiful. They're really... I mean, like probably like two of the most like one's brunette, one's blonde, and they're like the two most gorgeous women. I mean, they're unbelievable. But because the guys are so hot, it's like whoa.
I mean, I think it's amazing because I think it's amazing because it is that kind of like weird gender shift that we always like, oh, women are always sexualized or over-sexualized in shows, which, you know, for a fact they are. But at the same time, I'm like, I sat at this panel and all they talked about was like Klaus taking his shirt off and whether Elijah was going to do it with this other. And I was like, what is happening right now? It's like it's like we overcorrected. We were just like, let's go from one all the way to the other.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
No, but legitimately, yeah, I mean, these characters did start off on Vampire Diaries, and it really is a quality spinoff. Like, it definitely can stand on its own. So, I'm impressed, and I think they've done a really good job, and the production value is great, and it is a lot more than guys taking their shirts off. Yeah. I mean, it's not like True Blood. It's not, like, overly sexualized, but it is.
There's politics, right?
Yeah, and to be fair, the characters are really fleshed out. So even though you have to suspend your disbelief,
vampire politics,
sort of. But you know, even though you have to suspend your disbelief a little bit for the fact that it's paranormal, it really, I don't know. You want to believe that these characters are, you know, doing what they need to do based on their own needs and wants and everything else.
Awesome.
So it's good.
So Hillary, let's you and I talk about Beyond Two Souls.
I haven't played it.
This game.
You know, or shall I say Beyond Two Souls?
So I'm going to be running off assumptions that I've made.
I know.
So my opinions probably aren't that valid.
No spoilers.
So I won't spoil anything. I've been playing for, I think, somewhere in the range of 5 to 6 hours.
Watching?
I would guess that I'm about... You just read a bunch. So here's the thing. I've read a bunch of the reviews. You can clearly tell who had an opinion before they even started playing the game as to whether they were going to like that game or not. Because, like, some of these reviews are ridiculously biased. It's like, it's stupid shit with Ellen Page and it's dumb and I don't know, stupid move. Guy just wants to be a director. I hate it. And I'm like, okay, that's not a review. It's just you ranting for 5 minutes in the game.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, the trailer that their first trailer was like a movie. It wasn't a game.
Okay, so anyways.
But this company has a pedigree of making something that is closer to interactive fiction than like FPS, like Twitch gaming,
yes,
you know?
It is.
Well, you know how I feel about that. It's because they're using real life actors, you know? They're like using their...
As opposed to all those other games that use dead people to act.
But I'm surprised that you would be so adverse to something that is very like narrative heavy.
It's not that. I think what it is I just don't really like Ellen Page.
Okay, there we go. So Matt,
here we go.
Please continue.
So what I wanted to get out of the way right at the beginning is this game is fucking gorgeous. It is one of the best looking games I have ever seen in my entire life. It's unbelievable how good it looks. I don't know how they squeezed this out of the PS3 because, I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to like insert hyperbole or like be, you know, ridiculous about this. It really is. There are scenes where you forget that this is animated at all. It's stunning. There's a whole sequence where you're running through the forest at night and it's raining and it's like it's just incredible. It looks amazing.
Awesome.
The whole way through. The acting, you're either going to like Ellen Page or you're not. She does play Ellen Page, you know, if you enjoyed her in
tell me she plays Juno in this movie.
It's not Juno so much, but you know she
Kitty
is
Pride.
Sarcastic at times. Like if you saw Hard Candy or if you liked Inception, it's like somewhere between those two Ellen Pages.
Or that roller skating movie.
I never saw that one.
Oh, it's actually okay.
She's Ellen Page, and Willem Dafoe is shockingly Willem Dafoe. I mean, it's like these are character actors who play their character very well, and that's what they hired them to do, and they do it in the game. surrounding those two characters, I know all the hype is about those two, but this thing is like stuffed full of voice actors and different people who show up in the story. All of them are good. Like none of them, they don't put you out of the story. It's not like, it's not that crazy. Eventually you just feel like you're just watching Ellen Page in a movie. So
I'm really mad that Ellen Page stole the likeness of the little girl in The Last of Us. That just really upsets me.
So the game is gorgeous. It is for the most part well acted. The two things that, so if you played Heavy Rain. Sorry. Well, I was on Hard Candy. Was that one?
Yeah.
No, sorry.
You played Heavy Rain. It was basically a set of quick time events, right?
Mm-hmm.
To get through a story that you were kind of controlling, and you would have multiple outcomes and storylines based on how you reacted to those quick time events.
Yes.
They made a big hoopla about how, oh, this game's not full of quick time events. We have new contextual reactions, I think is what they called it. Something mm-hmm. like that. It's only not a QuickTime event because it doesn't put a button up on the screen. It is still very much a QuickTime event. You're still,
yeah.
You have to do something in an amount of time.
Yeah.
And if you do that thing before it happens, then it'll be good. The problem with the system is you can't fail, like at all. Like,
yeah. No, really.
You could put the controller down and just sit back and watch the game play out all the way through the game because those QuickTime events will fire something off and it might take the story in a different turn for like a brief period, but it'll right. curve right back to where the main narrative is and you'll continue on. It's a weird, that is what I think people are mad about and kind of complaining about, is you're playing a choose your own adventure where you're not even really choosing your own adventure. Like you're kind of just
it's
working
just too
your
much
way,
on rails. Yeah.
You're kind of working your way through this story. Through these series of quick time events, and let me point out, there are some times where you're doing quick time events that I'm just like, like
Heavy Rain had those too. Don't worry about it.
Where you're like sitting in a chair, and then it'll be like, you know, do you want to stand up? Do this quick time event, and you're like,
yeah.
Well, do I have an option? Nope. You have to stand up. And you're like, well, then just stand my character up and let me move through. Like, this is pointless.
Heavy Rain did the same thing, and the idea is to sort of make you feel like you're immersed in the character, even by doing these mundane things like opening cabinet doors. You know,
but the problem is that this felt, and I don't know if it's because the tech they had to put in to make it look so gorgeous meant they had to strip some things out as far as options and what you can interact with and what you can't. You're pretty stuck with what you can and can't do in this game.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of visual indicators on the screen as to like a white dot will appear. And if you push the right stick towards that white dot, then you'll do some, you'll interact with that thing. But if there's no white dots, you interact with nothing. That's the problem with it. So it's not like you're not immersed. You're just kind of like, you're just triggering things that they're putting in front of you to trigger.
Mm-hmm.
The story is told in a non-sequential order. So you jump around. They have this kind of unique looking like plot line that you'll see, and like points on the plot line will show up. So you'll know where you are in her lifetime, but it's not in chronological order. You'll be the little girl, and then you'll be her old, and then you'll be a teenager, and then you'll be her old again. Like, it just jumps back and forth, which can be really amazing and work really well. It falls kind of flat here. The story, it's like I would compare it to Lost in the way that they just don't tell you things, and that's their way of trying to get you to want to be, to sure. like, oh, what's going to happen next? I have no idea because they're just not telling me anything about why I care about this or why I love this character. Mm. It's very like, it just kind of, the story just kind of goes, and there'll be some really poignant, awesome moments, but surrounded by characters that you have no real ties to because you're jumping around so much that you have no idea why you care about this person in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's a little weird. The control of Aiden is pretty unique, and Aiden's that's the two souls part. He's the kind of, entity is what they call it, that's tied to you, and he allows you to interact with other things and do other things in the world, and it's pretty unique. The controls are a little flubby at times because you have full like it's like swimming in earlier games, you know, where you have like full 3D motion through the world. So it gets a little unwieldy. Sometimes you'll find yourself like kind of like floating off and not meaning to. But it otherwise works pretty well. I like the mechanic, and it kind of is fun. I could see playing two player and having somebody else control Aiden would be really interesting, because I feel like when you control him, you know what you want him to do, so you just go do it. And if it was somebody else, it kind of adds that, because you're not supposed to really control him. Like, she kind of requests him to do things, and then he's supposed to go off and do them. So if it was somebody else doing it, it would be kind of interesting to see what would happen in that sense, you know?
Yeah.
There is combat. It's quick time combat. And this is where they said everything's contextual, which is they dropped some of it will actually be button based. So like if you shoot somebody, you'll hit the R1 trigger and that'll fire a gun. But, actual like hand to hand combat is done in a way that, like it'll bullet time. So somebody, let's say somebody's going to punch you. It'll bullet time, and then you have to hit the right stick in the direction that would best handle that situation. And there's only one right answer out of four choices.
Yeah.
So like if a punch is coming at you and you're going to block to the left, you would hit your stick to the left. You'd put your hands up and block that punch. The problem with this is that sometimes the same thing will want two different motions at two different times.
Oh.
So it becomes not as intuitive as it seems like it could be.
Feels a little more random.
Yeah, like one time guy will punch at you and you're supposed to block, so you hit left. So you hit left and you'll block. And then the next time they'll go to punch at you, and this time you were actually supposed to duck. But there's no visual signal for you to duck. It's like, so you'll hit left and you'll fail. And then you're like, why did I fail? And you're like, oh, well, you were supposed to hit right to move out of the way. And it's like, well, like there's no system for me to understand why. And it's always like that. Like every motion, sometimes you'll do super awesome and sometimes you'll just do really poorly. The only benefit to it is, like I said before, you literally can't fail. So even if you lose the fight, the worst that'll happen is the story kind of curves off for a scene and then will probably curve back somehow at the end of that scene. Like there's a whole sequence where I actually lost and ended up getting captured at one point. And then I ended up quickly breaking out of being captured and being back where I probably would have been originally if I had never been captured. So it's kind of like, it's weird how they do that. It ends up taking you out of it a little bit, but overall the cinema, if you liked Heavy Rain, you'll probably enjoy this game in a similar way, but the story is not so hardlined, kind of like, it's not as, I don't feel like you and I, Scott, will play it and then talk about it afterwards and have two completely unique stories that were really both really like, you know, gripping and like you had a real super emotional moments. This feels very sci-fi. It's kind of murky as to what they're trying to tell you. There are points where you're just like, you don't even know why you care about what's going on in the screen, but it's so gorgeous that it's like kind of okay at the same time. Like you're like, the camera, you don't control the camera. The camera is all has limits and boundaries and moves around. And that's his way of kind of directing the scene. And it makes it look a lot better and a little bit more gripping in that way. But
would you be as patient with it if it was a movie?
It's weird to answer that because I don't, it's so long. I mean, this is like a 20-hour game. So I think that a movie would clearly have been edited into multiple parts and have some of these scenes taken out probably.
Interesting.
I would actually be okay if this was a shorter game that I could play through a bunch of times and get different stories out or like get different moments out of. I think that would be interesting. But instead it feels like, I don't know why I would ever pick this up and play it again, because I feel like I'd have almost the same exact story all the way through, even if the ending was slightly different. And it's such a not interactive game that it's not like you're going to get different things out of playing it again. Do you know what I mean? Like you're going to go through the same sequences again. So I don't know. I can see why people are kind of middle-roading the reviews on it. I think some people that are just like downright hating it are either missing the point or just weren't, the game wasn't meant for them in the first place. It is a unique experience. It's not like a lot of other games. And I'm enjoying it for the most part, but there definitely is some, there are some flaws. You know what I mean? It'd be impossible to say this game doesn't have some pretty big flaws in it. So,
you know, but at the same time, I'm glad that there are games like this.
Yeah.
You know?
It's different. It's definitely different. It is not, I would line it up more with like a Telltale, you know, version of Walking Dead than I would, you know, Mass Effect. They're completely different games.
Yeah.
Like, this is definitely more of the, here's a story, we want to present it to you, and you have some way to manage that story, but really we're going to get you to the same sort of ending or some point, because supposedly there's 23 endings. I have a feeling that there's small tweaks on one kind of poignant moment, but we'll see.
Cool.
But yeah, it's good. I mean, overall, I'm not unhappy that I'm playing it. I'm enjoying it. I played for like 4 hours straight last night without any issue whatsoever, so... It's not like it like sucks. It's not like you're like playing like, God, I want to get away from this game, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but again, not for, it's like, I will never play GTA 5 because the game's not meant for me. And I understand that. And that's okay.
Exactly.
So if you hate Ellen Page, don't play Beyond Two Souls. She's all over the
game. Hate is a very strong word.
Oh, geez.
Hate's a strong word.
Maybe we should just move on.
Let's do it.
Let's take a quick break and we will come back with our Nequata.
Hi, this is Amy Acker, and you're listening to the Rated NA podcast at nerdappropriate.com.
So in our Nequata this week, we asked, how will we be interacting with games in 20 years? Are standard controllers going to become a thing of the past? Question mark. I would like them to become a thing of the past, but I feel like we'll never be able to move ourselves away from it. But let's go to our Nequata board and see what other people said.
Good old Nequata board.
I feel like the Nequata board would be covered with hair.
No, that's going to be laser appendages. Removed.
Ew.
Yeah.
Gross. So Michael Coles on Facebook said, holodex, please. I am in full support of holodex. I would want holodeck in my house, in my car, at my office.
All you would do is you would... do it with the cast of the originals all day.
And it wouldn't be cheating, right?
Exactly, because it's a holodeck. It'd be all new rules for cheating. It'd be like, you can't go in the holodeck. You have to always go in with your pants on. Like, no naked holodeck in the house. It'd be like this whole thing that would develop.
Oh, wow. Well, then I don't want one anymore.
I knew it.
Joshua Benedum on Facebook also on Facebook said, they'll be beamed directly into our brains. No consoles, no TVs, no controllers, just brain beams.
Brain beams.
So scary.
I really like that.
It
last
like
sentence.
Cancer.
It's like that brain movie. Beams. What is that old sci-fi movie where they wore like the octopus things on their heads? It recorded their memories, and then you could like sell the memories to other people. He was like a dealer. No, the guy was like a dealer, and he was like dealing these.
Not Johnny Mnemonic, right? The other one. Strange Days?
Strange Days, yeah.
Oh, that movie. Sarah Polley, right?
Maybe like that.
Yeah. Strange Days, yeah. She's in Strange Days.
Yes. So Robert Framering says, PlayStation 9, remember that commercial? Wired inside you. Or it'll be like Ready Player One or Sword Art Online, wearable on your body. Would you guys wear haptic suits?
I would.
So Ready Player One is like one step beyond Oculus Rift.
Yeah, because of the haptic suit.
Because of the suit, yeah. And the chairs, too. They had the movie chairs.
Oh, yeah.
Man. I'm actually...
I like the idea of... What was that Bruce Willis movie where, like, everybody had an avatar?
Surrogates.
And it was all a bunch of fat people, like, living in their houses. Like, what is that movie?
Surrogates.
Surrogates.
Surrogates. Yeah, let's do that.
That was a... that
a
was
comic book.
Yeah, it was based on a comic book, and the writer was from UCF.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. There you go.
Very interesting. I guess
UCF
for my
is
answer,
Florida College, by the way,
it is. Yeah,
not California, that, Fresno.
Yeah. For my answer, I'm just going to go ahead and say that I really hope that we don't get rid of controllers, because I remember 20 years ago and we had controllers, and now the controllers are just better and I'm not a big fan of motion control and all the fancy schmancy.
Let's just wait a month. Let's wait a month and see how you feel about the one.
About the controller? I'm going to feel the same way. I already used that thing. It's the same
because
thing.
There's a new, like, Kinect got better.
Oh, I don't mind Kinect. I'll use it. But I also don't want to have to, like, you know, punch the air to play a game. I just want to sit there and be
exercise. Oh,
I want to be completely lethargic. Basically, I want to become a blob of meat that moves my like thumbs surrogates. Very quickly.
You need a brain controller.
PlayStation, the Beyond Two Souls uses the PlayStation 6-axis controller.
Uh-huh.
I fucking hate it. I can't. Tilting's, I cannot describe how much I hate using the controller. I hate it. It was like, because you'll be playing QuickTime things, and then it's like it'll show like a picture of the controller with an up arrow. So then I'm like, and then nothing would happen, and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? And then I'm like trying to bend the controller up, and like it just kept not doing anything. It was so frustrating. I hated it.
Get excited for that light bar then, because you're going to see a lot of it.
Damn, I hated it.
No, but I really like the ones where you have a flashlight and you have to shake the controller to like
Alan Wake.
Alan Wake, and also. Oh, I think Last of Us did that too.
Last of Us.
Just a quick aside. In No More Heroes with the beam sword, when the beam sword like ran out of juice, you had to shake it to get it to charge back up again. That was probably the best use of the Wiimote. Anyways.
Sorry.
I just have to say this real quick. In GTA 5, you can assign emotions like animations to your character. You press both thumbsticks down and your character does something. One of the emotions you can do is the hand job motion.
You'll
kill someone and you just hold your thumbsticks down and do this for like as long as you want. You can just sit there and just hand job all day long. It's glorious.
Good job, GTA 5.
You are changed, Ash.
A 13-year-old horrible killer. I've become a serial murderer on GTA 5.
Wow.
I kill everyone. And then I do hand job motions.
So Carlo Platinum Fist on Twitter says, more augmented reality and eventually motion sensing will reach Minority Report status, but I hope the controller endures. That's like the gold standard of fake technology is Minority Report.
I would wear two power gloves and control games that way. Can I do that?
Hell yeah. Sure.
Probably.
That's my answer. I want dual power gloves with high fidelity.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
What about a Pip-Boy from Fallout?
Yes.
Sure. That'd be cool. Yeah. Like a wearable Wii U gamepad. That would be great.
Pretty much.
Or like an Omni-tool. Hello.
Yeah.
I think I just came up with a great idea, like some kind of like wrist strap contraption so you can strap the Wii U gamepad to your wrist. Okay. Anyways, Eric at eChap33 says, would love games to be like the Enterprise holodeck, but more likely refined controllers paired with Oculus Rift-like devices.
Everybody that says holodeck just wants to fuck virtual people. I'm just saying that.
Oh, right. No. Look at this. What's happened to you?
Wait a minute.
GTA 5 has ruined you.
Anyone who denies that is a total liar, because that is the truth.
Anyway, so Justin Banks at Midtown 583 says, we will control games through our avatars, like I was talking about.
Surrogates.
High five, Justin.
Melissa K at the Quad Skater says, I hope we'll be plugging our brains in like the Matrix. I could do that. That'd be fun.
No, ow, brains, ow. You have to like sit in a chair and then they like shove something in the back of your head.
Well, maybe it's not that intrusive. Like Ready Player One, you can just transport your consciousness elsewhere, perhaps.
Second life. Jennifer Bernstein at J.A. Bernstein on Twitter says, I'm just waiting for holodecks to be invented. Mm-hmm. Holodecks, man, everywhere.
I always think about Fahrenheit in those, like, woman.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, she, like, interacted with the TV screen. Like, she was, like, kind of sucked into it. That's what I worry about.
I want better sound. Like, I like good audio. I don't really care about Oculus Rift. It's just like I just can't get into this idea that I'm going to be immersed into some world somewhere.
Yeah, you know what ruined that for me? Dactyl Nightmare. There you go.
Boom. You know what's crazy? So there was a guy that flies these like little model planes or whatever, like right by the beach by my house, and he has this cool thing where he's got like a camera on the plane. And it, and then it has it hooked up to his computer, and then you put this huge set of like goggles over your eyes, and you're on the plane as it's flying. It's kind of amazing.
Hillary, that's called a UGV. He's spying on people or delivering pizzas or tacos.
Whatever. It's nice. The coolest thing ever. So I sat there for like an hour, just like being on this little plane flying up and down the coast. It was amazing.
Cool. Yeah,
it's really cool.
It's pretty immersive. My point is,
I just want more like. I don't know how great it will be when it eventually comes out, but I loved that like Microsoft Room thing that they did, the weird tech demo they did where it was painting light on the room and it would notice what the objects are and then paint those objects in like light that would make it look like it was part of the game, and then it would move with the game when you're moving around, and it becomes this like whole room experience with, you know, I could see like an awesome surround system and that and like a big TV. Like that's cool to me more so than it being here like on my face. I just don't I like the idea of whole room immersion,
like a holodeck.
No, because I don't need to stand up and hump a fake person. I just want to sit on my couch and play a game.
I can't wait till that's the norm. Everyone just has like a holodeck room with like this weird device. Anyway,
whoa.
Makes me think of Community with a bed and Troy's fake
yeah
just the yellow tape on the black
yellow
wall.
Tape on the black wall. Amazing. All right.
Joel Haybury, who's Cliffy Joe 141 on Twitter, says there's an anime called Sword Art Online. Give me that in 20 years. I had to look up what it was.
You did it, Ash.
Oh, I did.
Yes,
did
Cliffy Joel.
Yeah. Cliffy Joel.
You read the time.
Ha! It's not just me anymore.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
In the year 2022... the virtual reality massively multiplayer online role-playing game Sword Art Online is released with the Nerve Gear, a virtual reality helmet that simulates the user's five senses via their brain. Players can experience and control their in-game characters with their minds. That'd be pretty
incredible. It's Ready Player One. Similar. Yeah. Anime.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, I would do that, I guess. Be cool.
And finally,
Andrew Baker at A Baker N 7 says, eventually, I'm sure, but I don't think anytime soon. Displays and TV into true 3D projections will happen first. Then controllers will disappear because we will need to be in the environments that have been created holodeck style. Mm-hmm. Holodeck.
I'd rather have a holodeck before a holodeck.
Yeah.
Holodeck.
Everyone's twerking and like,
yeah,
let's go to the holodeck.
Let me load up that Miley Cyrus simulator. It's my room. We can do what we want. Okay. So, it's time for Nerd Sports.
What was that?
That was my jingle that was not representative of any other network or entity's jingle for sports.
Scott, what an appropriate time for you to come back to the podcast.
I was going to ask you if you wanted me to take all of the bad juju right now and spare you.
Well, I have been doing terrible for 3 weeks straight now. I finally won a game last week against the previously undefeated Beholder of the Glory,
Karen
Weeks.
That's incredible. Nicely done.
I won. But I'm nowhere near the top three, so I'm unimportant in this discussion. But she holds on to the first place. Karen Weeks still in first place.
Karen.
Beholder the Glory. Still destroying the league. Still in second place. Or no, I think he moved up one. Is Rex's Warriors, which I believe is ECHAP 33. And then in third place, our very own Stanley Spadowski's Clubhouse.
That's why I was going to brag a little bit so that I could clearly lose this week. Because anytime you brag... In fantasy football, you get your ass handed to you.
Yeah,
so
it's the end. If you brag, it's the end.
Yeah,
and wait, I've already beaten Karen last week. Who'd I beat last week? Oh, I beat Dwyer Straits last week. Sorry.
Yeah, poor Dwyer.
I'm playing
Straits
Karen this week. I got confused. Week.
Yeah, you're only down 14 points already after Thursday. So
that's because she had she's Brandon Marshall.
Yeah.
Who had a hell of a game?
a hell of a game. So, you know, I've already beaten Serious Business in our other league, so I'm very confident that I'll do it this week again. And then I'll be moving up into second or maybe even first place by next week.
You never know.
There you go. Nice. I just cursed myself.
You never know.
Okay.
I don't know. That didn't feel braggadocious enough for you to.
I'm not. I've never been much of a bragger, you know.
So let's move from the NAF to the Naple.
Yeah.
All right. So what's been happening in the Naple? It's been a while.
Well, Scott, they've remained tied every week by splitting the games and having a split decision each time.
Mm-hmm.
But this week, we have a winner.
Okay.
Somebody is on top.
I hope Hillary's on top.
So, first game that we're going to talk about is, we're going to go in reverse order from what I wrote down, the Broncos versus the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
You guys all went with the Broncos, which is Karen Week's favorite team, so you chose correctly. And the Broncos, of course, murdered the Cowboys because no one can beat the Broncos this year.
That game was a barn burner, man. It was basketball scores. They scored like 95 points in that game.
Yes, Tony Romo got a lot of fantasy points and murdered me in one of my other games. In the next game, Seahawks versus the Colts. Ash went with the Seahawks because he had a bird theme this week.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary went with the Colts because she once went to Indianapolis.
And they have a lucky
symbol.
Which horseshoe, yeah, for good luck.
And the Colts came out on top, so Hillary took
snap.
2-1 right now. And in the final game, Jets versus the Falcons.
The Falcon Hillary, just won.
Hillary took the Jets. Ash took the Falcons. Hillary took it with the Jets. The
Whoa,
Jets.
Oh, my Falcons. Gosh.
Does that mean Hillary is up too. By two?
It was like 30-28, I think, was the final score in that game.
Oh, they won that game with a field goal.
Man.
So Hillary is now firmly in the lead.
Two games ahead, Ash.
Did I get 3 out of 3?
You did. Hillary swept it.
That's crazy.
Nice. Okay.
I didn't have money.
So this week, we've got 3 games we've got to choose from, and this is not the last week. I don't know. I re-listened, Hillary. I'm not sure what you... I think we got crossed wires, where you thought I said that this week was somehow the last week and
not
what I was
sad.
Saying. I just meant that we picked 3 games a week. That's all I was talking about.
Mm.
And then you... I don't know what happened. We didn't understand each other.
It was Monday, man. It was Monday.
That's okay.
All right.
So this week, game number one, we've got two kind of struggling teams at the moment. We've got the Panthers versus the Vikings. And Hillary, since you're in the lead, I think you can go first.
What do you guys think about that new quarterback over at the Vikings? What do you think about him?
His horns are too big.
Mm. Indeed.
He's a horny dude.
Oh, hell. Oh, hey.
Jokes for children.
So, can I go?
Yeah,
I said it's your turn.
Okay. So, I'm going to pick the Panthers because I have a reason for not liking Vikings so much.
Okay.
And that's one thing. But also, Panthers are really good looking cats. And I like Carolina.
Okay.
You like Carolina?
The state of Carolina.
Like the, excellent.
The Carolina
the
Panthers.
Of Carolina.
Excellent.
Ash.
I'm going to go with the Vikings because they have amazing beards.
Mm-hmm.
And they had incredible long boats that they would use. And they were excellent navigators. So I'm going to go for the Vikings.
Yeah.
I don't care.
They got all day, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All day.
Yeah, exactly.
All day.
Yes.
They don't know what that means.
That's why I keep saying it.
All right. So that was my answer.
Plus, you got ground to make up, too. So it's good to branch out.
Game number two. We've got the Steelers versus the Jets.
Ooh. Fucking Jets again.
Hey, man, there's only so many teams. Like, they're going to repeat on occasion, okay?
Ash, why don't you go first?
Well, I'm going to continue the trend of dissing cities. Okay. I went to Pittsburgh once, and boy, was it the pits.
Hey!
So I'm going to go with the Jets, because last time it was the Jets versus the Falcons, and the Falcons failed me, and the Jets won. So that means the Jets can win things.
Okay.
Mm. So I'm going to go for the Jets.
Oh, wow.
Can win things.
You're starting to use tactical reasoning now.
Oh, here we go. So, yeah, Jets.
Hillary.
Well, I hate to do this, but I think I'm going to pick the Jets, too, because Same reason I said last week, but I also really hate the Steelers logo. I don't understand why there's like diamonds colored in a circle. So it always annoys me when I see Steelers fans and their like weird logo. So we're gonna stick with the Jets because the Jets are cool.
And those towels too, those terrible towels. Yeah.
You know, Hillary, you started this off by saying the only knowledge you had was cities, where the team was located, but you're starting to show a lot of logo knowledge as well.
I'm in marketing.
Yeah.
A brand says a lot about you.
And then the final game, this is for some unknown reason an important game every year that everybody hoots up and talks about and hypes up probably. Whoa. They might hoot it up too, who knows. Because this is considered America's game, right, Scott?
What is it? Because it's Cowboys and Indians.
I don't really understand why it's such an important game every year, but it is.
We should call them the Washington Professional Football Team.
It's a big rivalry. There was an Onion article that went up.
Yes, did you see it? Yeah.
So there's, you guys know that there's issues with the Redskins for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And the Onion put an article up, and it said after much pressure, the Washington Redskins finally changed their name to the District of Columbia Redskins, right? Is that what this is? And I was like, oh, that's a brilliant.
DC.
All right. So it's the Washington Redskins versus the Dallas Cowboys.
There's nothing good about that.
You have to pick one. Someone's going to win the game.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for the Redskins just because of the Trail of Tears.
The Trail of Tears.
Okay. All right.
It's guilt. Whoa. It's a guilt choice. I feel bad.
Okay.
Man, you're putting... I don't like the whole like name of the Redskins, and I don't like Texas. So there's really nothing good about this equation for me.
Oh, I'm aware.
Oh, yeah. You're aware.
You've got to make the tough choices sometimes.
It is.
Yeah.
Man.
Don't be a racist.
I guess I like Texas more than I like racism. So... So I'm gonna go with the big star. I'm gonna go with the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, and we'll find out the result of that next week.
But we do have a clear leader right now.
Yeah, but we've split two of these games, so Ash has an opportunity to draw even by next week.
That's right.
It's possible.
It's gonna happen.
Cool. So I think that's it. We did it.
Let's wrap it up.
Hey, we're back, guys.
Yay! Right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to episode 124 of the Rated NA podcast. We have a couple big shout-outs this week. The first is our buddy Jimmy Hinson, who does our theme song. He has a Kickstarter, and it is almost done. He's already met his goals, but he can still get a little bit more money and meet more of those stretch goals. And he's kind of killing it with his Kickstarter. But definitely go on to Kickstarter. Check out Big Giant Circles. It's for his new... a full-length album. I think there's something to the effect of, I don't know how many songs, over a million.
There's a ton of tracks.
Trillions. Let's just say that. He's putting a million songs on the record.
And man, if you haven't been to that Kickstarter page, there's some previews of the tracks in the video he's posted there, and they are awesome.
He also has some really awesome poster artwork that he's doing giveaways with for different tiers, but it's good stuff.
Yeah.
And his credentials are, he's got some really good stuff under his belt. So that sounded really bad. Yeah,
he does.
Hey,
he's
gonna leave that alone.
He's got a long resume.
Oh
my God.
And a couple of big giant circles.
Oh my God.
What are we doing? Oh geez.
Jimmy.
Holodeck.
Oh wow. Jimmy's gonna hate us after this.
No, he's
holodeck.
Not. Oh, you kidding?
Anyway, as always, you guys can find us on Twitter at NerdAppropriate, Facebook/NerdAppropriate, or send us long, steamy, disgusting emails.
Really?
Fanfic.
Hillary with one L, Scott or Ash at NerdAppropriate.com.
We need an email. We're sitting on the best drop ever created for emails.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody pay attention to us.
Send us a picture or something. Anything. Anyway, thank you guys for...
Oh, Hillary.
Goodbye.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Since we're taking a break, I also wanted to mention that Matt's camera on Skype right now looks like a J.J. Abrams film. You've got some cool
you like
lens flare coming through. Flares. Looks awesome. Like, I want to keep that going.